T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, May 21st, and it feels like it. You know, we've had some really, really pleasant weather recently, and it is it's getting hot, so just keep that in mind. So in some ways, the stay-at-home order is kind of coming in handy. I'm Scoot. I'm glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow, it's Free for All Friday on our show, and we will talk about the Memorial Day weekend. So a caller called a few minutes ago, and he was really upset that there's a barbershop in Madisonville, and the barber was not wearing a mask, and there were a number of people in his shop. Dominic joins us from Dominic's Barbershop in Madisonville. Dominic, welcome to our show this afternoon. Thanks for taking time.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for having me. Long time listener, right. First time caller.
Appreciate it. Dominic, so you're not wearing a mask when you cut hair?
No, that's not true. I actually, he was the only person when he walked in the shop. I was cleaning up all my materials because I used Lysol and bleach in between. And because he caught me not wearing a mask, he stopped at the door. And I said, hold on, you have 3 options. And I was going to tell him he could either go wait in the car while I finished wiping down this, or he could stand outside and I would just wave him in, or he could go into my waiting room and sit down. And he was already red hot pissed. He was through the roof. So I go, I walked up to him. I said, all right, have a seat, put the mask on, sat down. He continues to like go off and berate me. And I ripped the cape off of him. I said, you know what, bro, enough. You can't have, you're out. I opened the door. I walked him to the door. I said, he goes, you really not going to cut me? You're not going to cut me? I said, dude, you're banned. You can never come back here. Because this is his quote unquote decompression time where he actually has to unwind because the day makes him go so insane that he can't do anything but come in here and lower his blood pressure by getting his hair cut. If I don't say a word the whole time, he gets his hair cut. Like, okay, bro, you're weird enough already. I already tried to get rid of him like 5 times by like suggestion. So finally, really? I just had to open the door and let him walk out.
So did you let are there 10 people hanging out in your salon?
No, they had all left. I was cleaning up when he came in.
Okay.
He saw somebody at the door walking out.
So here's the question: are you following the rules?
Yeah, that's the only way to do. That's the only way to do it. And I have a waiting room. I have a waiting room, and I have people that can wait in the car, doing emails, while they wait their turn.
All right, and I have to ask you this. I mean, did you cough on the guy? Were you frustrated? Did you cough on him?
No. Why do you say that?
Yeah.
No, he rolled his window down because he wanted to yell one thing at me. And before he left, I said, don't ever come back.
Well, you know, it sounds like this is not a good match and he maybe should find another place to get his hair cut. I'm happy that you're not defying all the rules and
yeah.
that you're following the rules. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate it. Come in here at random anytime. You'll see me.
All right, Dominic. Well, I'm glad you're following the rules, and I appreciate you talking with us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scoot. Y'all have a great
All right,
one.
Dominic. All right. You too. Yeah. All right. So, you know, again, it's he said, President Trump is touring this plant in Michigan, and there are these businessmen around him wearing suits. They all look like really dignified businessmen. They're all wearing masks. And there's this other man in a suit, not wearing a mask, and that's President Trump. And I guess the thing that, you know, President Trump has a right to not wear a mask. But if the president is refusing to wear a mask because of the way it makes him look, if it's because he thinks it makes him look weak, if somebody's not wearing a mask for that reason, you know, I think that's the sign of a character flaw. I mean, there are things that President Trump could do to make himself look a lot better in every way. And he obviously isn't working on those things. So looking important, I guess, is important to him, but maybe it's not. But I don't know. I guess I resent the idea that somebody thinks wearing a mask is not macho. That you've got to be macho. You're tough if you don't wear a mask. And I think sometimes the toughest thing to do in life is to do the right thing. And so I suggest that if you think it's good to wear a mask, that you wear a mask. And don't let anybody convince you that you're not supposed to wear a mask if you think it's the thing that you should do. And we've talked about this a lot because, look, this has become a really hot topic. I mean, this has become a big, big issue because the mask is being tied to political ideology. And some people say, oh, no. No, it is. It doesn't mean that it's political for everybody, but for a lot of people, it's... I know people who have gone out and bought a gun because it was really more a reflection of their politics than it was the need for safety. That's not the reason to buy a gun. You don't buy a gun because you want to show that you're a conservative. Because liberals own guns too. That's not the reason to buy a gun. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think people should walk around not wearing masks because it makes them look tough. I mean, I have to admit, first time I put on a mask, I felt really weird. But it didn't take long for me to get used to it. And it didn't take long for me to get to the point where I realized I was doing something. And maybe part of wearing a mask and part of standing in line and doing those things is the sense that we are helping, because we feel so helpless in this situation. This stuff was visited on us. We didn't cause it. We didn't ask for it. It just happened. And it has affected us in a big, big, big way. And we feel like we're not in control. But to some degree, I feel like I can control contributing to slowing the spread by wearing a mask and social distancing. So if you don't wear a mask, I don't think it makes you macho. Just respect those who wear masks and keep your social distance, because you have a right to not wear a mask, but you really don't have a right to, you know, get in the space of somebody who is wearing a mask and practice social distancing. And, you know, you could wear a mask, but I think social distancing is just really a very, very good practice right now. And when they talk about schools going back, I don't know how effective this is going to be, but they're talking about desks in schools being 6 feet apart. I mean, what about when they all funnel out of the door together to go out of the class, or when they're in the hall? I mean, lockers are not going to be 6 feet apart. So there are going to be times when you're going to be right next to people. But it's just been amazing to me. And it really, last week, and in particular this week, it has just been so obvious that tempers are flaring. And that people are, you know, trying to make statements by wearing a mask or not wearing a mask or getting mad at somebody for not, you know, that shaming BS should stop. Don't, if you're upset that I'm wearing a mask, then you fit the definition of a snowflake. If you're offended by me wearing a mask or social distancing or taking this the way I'm taking it, then that makes you a snowflake. Do you want to be considered a snowflake? If you're wearing a mask and you're offended by somebody not wearing a mask, you're a snowflake. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting how this is just so much of this is bringing out the insanity that seems to be living so close to the surface in our country. Hey, if you've got a comment, 260-1870, text 870-870. I'm Scoot. We're coming back on WWL. I think things will be slightly different, but we'll get back to more normal than we have right now. Here is here's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll question. Did Nancy Pelosi shame President Trump when she said he is morbidly obese? 73% say yes, and 27% say no. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. Before I get back to your calls, here is that moment yesterday when Nancy Pelosi said President Trump is morbidly obese.
I didn't say anything about the president. I gave him a dose of his own medicine. He's called women one thing or another over time. And I thought he thinks that passes off as humor in certain cultures. And I thought that was what that was. And I was only quoting what doctors had said about him. So I was being factual in a very sympathetic way.
Okay, I thought that was the actual comment, but it's actually her talking about the comment. But she referred to him as morbidly obese. You know, I mean, the president's overweight. I mean, I would not look at him and say that he is morbidly obese. I'm trying to be fair here. He's obviously out of shape. And he could be obese. Most experts seem to think that his doctor lied on his behalf about his weight, didn't want to say what his weight really was, because you had a lot of people who worked for carnivals, and they guessed the weight. You know, they guessed your weight. Well, they looked at the president, and they said, no, he weighs more than that. Anyway, I don't really know if that's true or not, but they would know. But a lot of people thought there's no way that he weighs 230 or whatever. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi's right in this way. And I'm not a Nancy Pelosi fan, but she's right in this way. The president can't take it. He berates everybody, and he can't take it himself. From Uptown, Jonathan, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hi, Scoot. How you doing?
I'm good, Jonathan. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, a couple of things. First off, we're talking about the naming rights of the Superdome. I don't know if anyone else heard about it, but there's an adult website called Strip Chat. They put in a $15 million bid to get the naming rights.
Jonathan, we talked about that at the beginning of the show, and that's what started the conversation.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. And it would be interesting to see, which I doubt they would, but it would be interesting to see if they could win that bid.
Also, do you think it's inappropriate? Do you think it's inappropriate for like this adult streaming website, Strip Chat, to sponsor the Dome?
It depends on what their signage is going to look like. That's, you know, I mean, in a state like ours, you know, that's going to be the eyebrow raiser, right?
Well, so, you know, I can think of a lot of logos that they could have.
Yeah. But as you can see, the Hustler, the Larry Flint signage all around. So I don't know. Maybe they could tone it down and maybe they could slip it in. I don't know. But I was thinking of a name for the Superdome, and someone posed this on Facebook earlier this morning, and one name that I said, the Louisiana Resilient Superdome, because I think that would be fitting for us as a state.
That would be really nice, Jonathan, just that they're looking for money and who would pay for that. You know, they're looking for a lot of money, and they're looking for more than $15 million to do this over a period of time. But it was just fun entertaining it, and I know Strip Chat got a lot of publicity out of it, and, you know, it's okay. I don't disapprove of what Strip Chat does, but, you know, there's just something about it that just seems inappropriate for the name of the Dome. And I wrote a blog about this, and we talked about it earlier, but I appreciate your comment, Jonathan.
Yeah. Sorry I missed it earlier, but yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. So, have a good one. Nice show.
All right. All right, take care. Here's a comment from Eric. It says, thanks for your last commentary. I'm thinking perhaps Snowflake equals COVIDiot, at least in some instances. Well, yeah, I guess in some instances it does. But look, again, the definition of a snowflake is somebody that's, you know, easily offended and overly offended by something that somebody else does or says. And if you're offended that I wear a mask, you're a snowflake. If you wear a mask and somebody doesn't wear a mask and you're offended by that, it makes you a snowflake. From Gentilly, Justin, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I want to talk about the mask versus non-mask battle. But
okay.
Since you are an admitted germaphobe, we know what side you're on.
Yeah, I'm also a patriotic American, and I feel like I'm doing my part. This, based on the information that I have, I feel like I'm doing my part to slow the spread by wearing a mask.
I have no problem with that. I do wear a mask in the store when I get close to people, because if I don't wear a mask, they're going to feel uncomfortable. They won't talk to me, so I'll wear a mask.
But well, they won't talk to me anyway, so.
What? Man, don't be like that. Anyway.
No, some people do, yeah.
The thing is, I wear a bandana on my head because I'm bald, and I'm afraid if I take the bandana off, people are going to get the germ of baldness, and I've already seen that everywhere.
You mean you think other people have caught baldness from you?
Yeah,
I didn't know it was contagious.
I never liked me not having hair. That's a very personal thing to say.
I know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, I feel badly. You know, I was always paranoid that I was going to be like totally bald, and it didn't really happen. And I feel badly for people who put a lot of importance into that. But I will tell you that, you know, to women and really to people in general, the least attractive thing about somebody who's bald is the fact that they're not confident. It's not the baldness, it's the fact that they lack confidence.
You're bringing a great point up. You know, it's self-importance. You know, you're right. The hair doesn't matter. How I look is the way God made me. So I have to live with that. But I can't be a rock and roll drummer without long hair. So I can't have to be Robert Plant. So I have to be bald.
But there are a lot of there are a lot of rock and roll people who shave their heads. There are a lot of rock and roll people who don't have hair. I mean, I've seen bald drummers. So a lot of, again, it comes down to your attitude and your style, and, you know, just find a clothing style that works, and that let that speak to you being a rock and roller.
Well, I've enjoyed your show. God bless you, everybody out there, and I'll talk to you again soon. Yeah.
All right, Justin, stay safe. From Harvey, Val, you're on WWL.
How you doing, Scoop?
Good, Val.
Yeah, man, I was just listening to the deal with the barber earlier. Just wanted to shout out for Harvey. There's a little franchise barbershop. Man, they got a little table outside. You have to sign your name, wait in your car, put your phone number down, wait in your car. And when they call you to the door, they take your temperature. And then, you go in, everybody's wearing masks. And they're, you know, I got a beautiful haircut, and everything went smooth. I mean, I just don't see what's the big deal. They've been waiting to go back to work for so long.
Yeah.
And just this one thing that they have that, for the sake of us who are over 60, you know, that have conditions, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, why not respect elders?
Well, I'm glad we set the record straight. I mean, I'm glad I got a hold of Dominic in Madisonville, and I'm glad that he told his side of the story, because it sounded like he was like an arrogant renegade who wasn't following any of the rules, and it turns out that apparently that's not the case.
Well, I mean, it's just my opinion, but I didn't think he was 100% sincere, but, you know, that's just an opinion.
So. I don't know. I'm not there, so I don't know. So I have to leave it with he said, he said.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Val, I appreciate the call. That's right. Good to talk to you, too. All right, if you've got a comment, 260-1870, no, text is 870-870. And from Gretna, Sam, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scoot. From my many emails, you already know how I feel about the mask thing, so I won't tie up your show for 3 hours. Briefly, with Florida, people that want to, you know, party, have a good time and all that, they shouldn't have to sneak around like criminals, and I've never gone where I wasn't wanted. So I say everybody, yeah, it's going to sneak them down the back way. Now, if you're local somewhere like Fort Walton, Destin or something, and you got a Louisiana plate, the locals are going to pull you over, you know, so you're, you know, setting yourself up for a, you know, for a pot. And I say we respect, I say we respect the quarantine permanently. Now, if they wouldn't have been the last state to shut it down and the first state to reopen, I would say, you know something, better safe than sorry. You know, but, you know, I say we permanently respect their quarantine. Now, with the masking, I've been trying to find out, and like I said in the email, your anti-masking crowd, they're being given traction by the inconsistency of who follows or who's supposed to follow the rules, like where an orthopedic doctor, everybody there, even the office staff in the back away from the patients, everybody has a mask on. Everybody, everyone. Now, when I go to my physical therapy, two people, and they have to bring their own. It's not supplied there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've addressed this with the manager there, and they said, well, it's up to them if they want to bring one. I said, no, it's required. Now, I remember initially it was required any medical office that opens up, all staff has to wear a mask, and they want the patients to wear a mask also. What I couldn't find out from the state, from Jefferson Parish, from anywhere, and like going on a day and a half of phone calls, fire marshal don't know. No one can tell me when it went from required in a medical office to optional. So if there's no consistency, the anti-mask people, that gets them fired up. And a couple calls ago said, oh, great, if I'm walking past somebody, not only am I protecting someone else's health, because the anti-mask people need to look up asymptomatic. I don't know if I have it in my system. I've never had symptoms. I took a test the other day. Yeah. I don't know. So I wear a mask, like Ginger said last week, just in case. And I've been thinking what a couple, three callers back said. Not only protecting somebody that walked past from me, but if I set their mind at ease, hey,
No, I get it. Sam, it's also just it's a sign. It's a badge saying that you're taking it seriously and you're willing to make this sacrifice. For those, I don't want those two who are not wearing a mask to feel that badly about it. I think you should wear a mask, but if you don't wear a mask, a lot of people look at you, whether this is fair or not, and they think you don't care. There are some people who cannot wear masks for a few different reasons. Sam, I appreciate the call, and you know, I wish this would not. Thanks, Sam. I wish this controversy would go away, but it won't. And because it's tied to politics, it's tied to the core of the narrative in America of you're right. No, I'm right. You're wrong. I'm right and you're wrong, and not only are you wrong, but you should do what I do. I'm not just going to respect you doing what you want to do. You know, you should do what I do. You should lead your life the way I think you should lead your life. And it shouldn't be that way. Here's a text about President Trump's weight. It says, a BMI of 35 or greater is considered morbidly obese. She, Nancy Pelosi, was not lying. Another text says, I've seen morbid obesity in New Orleans. Yes, I have too. Another text says the president may be overweight, but he has the hottest first lady in the history of the United States. I would agree with that. I would have to agree. But, you know, don't go out of your way to, you know, not be healthy and not take care of yourself because you think that's going to get you hot chicks. Because it's the money that gets the hot chicks. It's not the hair. It's the money. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text 870-870. This was one of the songs last Thursday night for 80s night for my apartment. And I'm really not sure what I'm doing yet tonight, but there will be 80s night live from my apartment, social distance dancing during this pandemic at 9 o'clock live on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Had fun last week. Yeah. I hope this week is good. You know, it's a challenge every week to make it good, so I'll do the best I can. It will be silly. It will be kind of stupid. And I hope you join me 9 o'clock tonight live on Scoot on the Air. It will be shared later on the WWL Radio Facebook page as well. And we'll be right back on WWL. As we continue to live on a prayer, it's Thursday, May the 21st. And again, man, I think we need to be proud of ourselves because we've made it this far. And it's been a long time. And we can make it farther. We can do what we have to do to get through this. So I'm getting a number of texts here about a call we had just a moment ago. I think it was Justin in Gentilly. And he says he wears a bandana on his head because he's bald. And, you know, I just made the comment that, you know, you can be bald and really, really cool. And some people shave their heads. And I got a text that says, Guy Gelso from Zebra, bald drummer. That's from Johnny and Jefferson. It's true. Another text about the guitar player in the band Train. Paul Schaefer. Think about Paul Schaefer from the Letterman Show years ago. I mean, he was bald and he was cool. I hate that somebody would either be defined by their hair or lack thereof, or would feel insecure because of that. So, you know, one day on the show, maybe we'll just talk about all the really cool bald people there are. From Wegaman, Elaine, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoot. Thanks for taking me.
Sure.
I wanted to tell you about the little school children. You know,
okay.
I don't know how they're going to get them to go back. You know, what you're going to do? You can't make them all wear a mask. I mean, they have to talk sometime. So it's going to be a hard situation to try to get your kids, because they catch buses too, you know, and that's a whole lot of people together.
Yeah.
So the only thing we can do is just let them go back to school and just try to live normally, you know, let the older people wear the mask, you know, all the teachers and all.
But, you know, there's been a lot of there's been talk about that, you know, the people who are vulnerable because they're older and or have underlying conditions, they're the ones that really need to be protected. And there's some theory about just everybody just going back to normal. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know what the answer is, but I've heard that conversation. And there is an aspect of that that does make sense because it deals with herd immunity.
True. And these children, you know, they're going to sneeze, especially the little pre-Ks and kindergarten and special children. They're going to sneeze and cough right in your face, so you got to wear a mask, you know, try to protect yourself. Yeah. That's all. These children don't know any better. We're trying to teach them. But also, I want to say my opinion. I need an opinion of Nancy Pelosi. She needs to get off that rocker. I mean, she is constantly wasting time. She needs to go eat ice cream, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand. I don't agree with. I think she's playing to President Trump's level, and President Trump has a habit of putting people down and being degrading to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she should get on that level.
No, she don't. And he needs to stop making these comments to people that's trying to find out things, you know, on radio or they right there in front of him. The news media. Yeah. He needs to address them in an appropriate way. You know, I mean, hey, he's our president. Now, one other thing. This New York Governor Cuomo, is he trying to run the presidency for the next year? I mean, I don't know how much TV time this man took up on what his wants instead of using a phone like many of our mayors did, you know?
Well, he sure is getting a lot of publicity. And it's because New York was just – well, first of all, New York's such a populated state. New York is the biggest – New York City is the biggest city in America. And it's because it's just been such a hot spot, and so many can relate to New York because so many people have been there, that that's the reason that this got a lot of attention. I know CNN carries his press conferences every day, but Fox News doesn't, and I'm not sure if MSNBC does. I flip around a little bit, but his press conferences are happening at a time when I'm trying to get ready for the show. Elaine, you take care of yourself and have a great weekend at Waggaman.
Please go ahead. Please tell our teachers they did doing a great job staying home and staying on those computers and helping our kids as much as they can.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, Elaine, thanks.
God bless.
Yeah, teachers have been doing a great job. And some teachers have really gone out of their way to do, you know, kind of like emotionally heroic things for their kids. And that's really good to see. Here is, I'm getting a number of texts about whether or not President Trump is morbidly obese. And I've got a text here that says it's a medical term. And I get that. And, you know, technically, based on the medical term, President Trump may be morbidly obese, but I don't think it benefits Nancy Pelosi to get on his level. I mean, in one way, I think, hey, you know what? He does it, so let's see if he can take it. Well, we know he can't take it. But when she tore up his State of the Union address, I don't know that that furthers her cause. You know, if you think President Trump is wrong for some of the things that he says and does, then let him stand alone as an island. I wouldn't have chosen, even if he is technically and medically morbidly obese, and he may be, I would not have used that term in talking about the President of the United States. I mean, look, the guy's obese, the guy's overweight, but I've seen people even bigger. But, the president should take care of it. But, look, you know, that's another thing. You know, it's like, you know, losing your hair. I mean, look, sometimes people can kind of control their weight to some degree, but you can't tell me that everybody's makeup is not different, because I guarantee you there's some people that weigh more than they would like to, and it's not because they're lazy. It's because their body makeup is just different. So, you know, I have empathy for those who have the body makeup that makes it difficult for them to keep weight off. But, you know, we all need to work on being careful and taking care of ourselves. I really would like to see the president wear a mask at times when it's appropriate. And if all these men around him at Ford are wearing masks, they thought it was appropriate, but he was the only one that didn't think it was appropriate? Or can he not do it because he feels like it makes him weak? I'd like to think that the mask doesn't weaken who you are as a person. Hey, yeah, it's hot. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, it's Thursday. Tomorrow will be Free for All Friday on our show, and I hope you'll join us, and we'll get you ready for a Memorial Day weekend as different as it might be. From Covington, Greg, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Greg.
Hey, Scoot. How are you?
I'm good.
I was calling because a little while ago, before one of your breaks, you played a song that you said you were playing at your apartment the night before, and it brought a smile to my face because it brought back memories of when I was at WDSU as a cameraman, and you were hosting a show. I'm sure you remember this.
Yeah. It was Airwaves, and 1999 was the first song we played in the pilot episode of the 80s dance show Airwaves. Greg, I'm so glad you called, and it's just so amazing that you even remember that.
Well, I remember because that song played a million times, and I couldn't get it out of my head for years.
Well, we had to do a few retakes, you know?
When you played it a short time ago, I was like, oh, okay, well, this brings back some memories.
Yes, so it does. It was a crazy look. It was a fun show. You know, I had a lot of confidence in the concept of that show, and I felt like the time was right for a show like that, featuring the 80s look and 80s dancers and 80s music, because of what was going on at the time. And you know, in New Orleans, there were not enough people around me to see the wisdom in where this could go. 6 months after that show ended, MTV went on with the afternoon dance show with Downtown Julie Brown, and I swear it was the exact same format that I had done
that
6 months earlier. So, yeah.
That was a lot of fun working on that show.
Well, thank you, Greg. I appreciate that, and thank you for your contribution to that part of my career and my part of my life.
Absolutely.
All right, Greg, stay safe.
You too. See you later.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, 80s dance show. Airways. It was a lot of fun. I still run into people who are like dancers on the show, and they're all grown up. So, yeah, it's interesting. All right, Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick is coming up next. And I want to thank our program director, Diane Newman, our show producer, Todd Manassas, and our senior studio producer, Ian Hoke. And as always, I want to thank you for being part of the show. And I know we don't always agree, but I think that's one of the great things about this show. You know, one day you might agree with me, the next day you'll disagree. I might agree with you, might disagree with you. I certainly have my opinions, but all opinions are welcome on the show. So look, God, I feel like I'm saying goodbye for the weekend, but we're coming back tomorrow. It just felt kind of like a weekend day. Anyway, take care of yourself. We're back tomorrow. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.